Our scripture reading this afternoon for this farewell service is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 to the end. 1 Corinthians 16, the verses 13 to the end. Where Paul, in the final verses of his letter to the church at Corinth, writes this: "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." These last few verses, 1 Corinthians 16, the verses 22 to 24, are the text for this farewell sermon. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear congregation, when people part, it can be with different feelings. Sometimes we feel relieved when someone leaves. Sometimes we feel sad when they leave. But what words shall we say when we part? Paul gives parting words and says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Let us listen to this farewell greeting, these parting words this afternoon. That's what you can write over the sermon, parting words. And we'll see four things. First of all, a word of solemnity. Secondly, a word of entreaty. Thirdly, a word of mercy. Fourthly, a word of charity. Parting words. First of all, a word of solemnity. Secondly, a word of entreaty. Thirdly, a word of mercy. And fourthly, a word of charity. We find Paul at the end of his first letter to the church at Corinth. He has dictated the contents of this letter to one of his helpers. He is filled with all seriousness and compassion, and he comes to the last page. Do you see what he does? He picks up the pen himself and writes a few words himself. Verse 21, "The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." He writes these parting words with his own hand. It confirmed that this letter indeed comes from Paul. It shows that it's genuine. It's proven by his own signature. And these words which he writes are serious words. The whole letter is serious and searching. He has dealt with important things. There are serious things he's had to deal with in the congregation. There was, after all, carnality in the church and disunity in the church. Listen to his words, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3 and 4. "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? The current nation was torn apart by disputes and formed into groups depending on which minister that they preferred. I like this one. No, I like that one. And they argued about ministers, and they exalted themselves in thinking of themselves as so spiritual and right. But he puts his finger on the problem, at least by telling them that love is missing. Remember what he writes about Christian love in chapter 13, and coming to the end of the letter, he wants to examine them on this point. Do you love Christ? If we are arguing and if we're filled with discord, what place is there for Christ in our lives? If we are sharp with our tongue towards others, if we are critical of one another, do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Paul is serious. Paul is solemn. He remembers that time when in his own life he was religious outwardly. He was law-abiding, but he was opposed to Christ. He was a rebel in sin, a rebel in guilt, marked by unbelief and enmity. But the Lord exposed him to his hatred and to his unbelief on the road to Damascus when he stopped him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul realized that it would have been right and just if the Lord Jesus had cast him into outer darkness because of his unbelief and his enmity. But the fact that the Lord did not strike him down to hell, but spared him, as it were, inviting Saul of Tarsus to seek him, to confess his sin, to pray to him. And that must have been something of a wonder to Paul, that he's overwhelmed by his love and he finds forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that love and that grace of Christ fills his heart by the power of the Holy Spirit that turned him from hating Christ to loving Christ, from being in opposition to Christ to knowing affection for Christ. And Paul cannot but love Christ in response. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry, my supplication. Yes, that's because of Christ's love for him. We love him because he first loved us. And now Paul is a man constrained by love. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. And do you know why he is so worthy of love? What reasons, how many reasons are there not to love him? And Paul gives three. I mean, he is worthy to be loved because he's Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. Imagine being oppressed by Hitler or by Stalin or Kim Jong-un in North Korea, but imagine that a gracious king comes to set you free from that oppression and that bondage. Would you not love that king who delivered you? Shall we not love the Lord who comes to redeem sinners from the power of sin? Shall we not love the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, who is crowned with glory and honor, and yet is so meek and gentle in heart? He is Lord, and he is Jesus. He is Savior. He saves his people from the power of sin, and he saves them from the pollution of sin, and he saves them from the pleasure of sin, and he saves them from the punishment of sin. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ Jesus saves. He saves by His blood. He is Lord. He is Jesus and He is Christ. He is anointed to be the chief prophet and teacher, to teach us about Himself and the way of salvation. And He is the priest who sacrificed His life on the cross, and He is the priest who prays for His people, and He's the priest who blesses His people. And as King, He gathers and He defends and He preserves His people. Is there anyone you know that is more lovely than Christ? Can you think of anyone this afternoon, boys and girls, who is more lovable than Jesus Christ? Should we not say with the bride in the Song of Solomon, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend. He is altogether lovely." Do you love Christ? For that's what it's all about. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, how many are not like that? They're still as they were born, unregenerate, unconverted. They're still enemies of Christ. They may attend the means of grace. Yes, they may be belonging to the church, for it's to the church that Paul is writing these words. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to the church. Oh, it's clear that in the world is full of people who don't love Christ, but also in the church there are people who don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they're young people. Maybe they're boys and girls. Maybe they're older people. They may have been baptized in Christ. They may have heard sermons about Christ. They may have been with the people of Christ. They may even speak about Christ. They may think that they believe in Christ, but they don't love Christ. That's what it's about. Paul doesn't say if any man doesn't pray to Christ, I hope we do. He doesn't say if any man doesn't read the word of Christ, I hope we do. He doesn't say if any man doesn't believe in Christ, I hope we do, but he goes right to the essence of true religion, it's love. He uses here a general word for love, not the highest form of love. He doesn't use the agape word for love, but phileo, friendship form of love, family love, a bond of love. See, that's it. There are people who are not bound to Christ. There are people who have no attachment to Christ. They have no affection for Christ. They don't love Christ. They love themselves. They love this world. They love the things of this world. That has their heart. That grips them. It's maybe that they love religion. It's maybe that they love church. It may be that they love ministers. It may be that they love their own prayers. It may be that they love their own works. It may be that they love their own experiences. But they don't love Christ. And maybe someone says, but I thought that Paul always stressed the need for faith. After all, isn't it by faith that we are saved? That's true. But love is the fruit of faith. Love is the primary fruit of faith. It's that faith results in love. And if I don't have love for Christ, how can my faith be true faith? Do you love Him? He comes to us this afternoon, and this is the question He has for you and for me. Do you love Christ? Which group do you belong to? Those who love Christ? or those who don't love Christ. And if you do not love Christ, you realize that's very serious and very solemn. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Paul says. Now, boys and girls, anathema is a word in the Hebrew or Aramaic. It's a very unusual word. It's a strong word. It's a word that Paul uses only one other time in Galatians 1 verse 9 of false teachers. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. And some have said that this would be the last step of discipline in the Jewish synagogue. And some say that Paul is wanting to lead the church into excommunicating all those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not what Paul is saying. He's saying something more serious than that. What Paul is doing is what Moses did in Deuteronomy 27 and 28 when he pronounces the curses upon the people for sin. Cursed be he that makes a graven image. Cursed is he that perverts judgment. Cursed is he who doesn't listen to the voice of the Lord. Cursed shalt thou be. God's judgment comes upon them. It's what fell upon the city of Jericho, the people of Jericho, after the people of Israel walked around it and it was destroyed. Then Jericho was under the ban of God, not to be rehabilitated. It meant their destruction. They were under the judgment of God. That's what Paul is saying about all those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. The curse of God is on them. The judgment of God is upon them. If you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ here and now, you are outside of God's blessing. You're under God's curse. If you don't trust in the Lord Jesus and if you don't love the Lord Jesus. Because if you bypass Jesus, there is no hope for you. After all, Jesus went to the cross. He undertook to be made a curse for sinners on the cross. He didn't deserve that because of anything that he had done. He deserved the blessing of God, not the curse of God, but he took the curse of God in the place of others. He bore their sin and he bore the curse for their sin. He gave himself on the cross and he gives himself in the gospel. And I need to shelter in him. And I want to shelter in Jesus. And I can't do without Jesus. And I want to love him. No, I don't feel that I love him enough. I feel cold sometimes, don't you, dear child of God? My love goes up and down. I certainly don't love him the way that he deserves to be loved. But do you love him? Do you honor him? Do you worship him? Do you love his day? Do you love his cross? Do you love his person? Do you love his word? Do you love his ordinances? Do you love his blood? Do you love his work? And while you don't feel that you love him enough, can you say with Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things, even though I have denied thee thrice. In so many ways and so many times, yet thou knowest that I love thee. Can you say with Asaph, who was struggling in faith, who was envious of the wicked, who is confronted with his own envy and jealousy, he says at the end of Psalm 73, but whom have I in heaven but thee? and there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. But if I bypass Christ, and if I go around Christ, and if I don't shelter in Christ, if I don't resort to Him, then there is no mercy for me and you. Then you must be judged, and you must be condemned. Then you're exposed right now to God's curse and God's judgment. Do you see how serious this is? Can you imagine Judgment Day coming? And you standing before the judgment seat of God, not having loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul will point his finger at you. And God's servants will point their finger at you. And maybe your parents will point their finger at you. Maybe your children will point their fingers at you and say, this man, this woman, this boy, this girl doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is only one place for his soul, and that's in hell, in outer condemnation. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, and it calls you to repent, my unconverted young person, my unconverted friend, it says in the words of Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way also of not loving Christ. And the unrighteous man his thoughts of not loving Christ. And let him return unto the Lord and to our God, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Take your unbelieving heart, your unrepentant soul, and humbly fall at his feet here and now. Ask for his love, that you might love him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might love him in truth and in sincerity, that you might love him, I'm not saying as the angels do in heaven or as the redeemed in heaven, but that you might love him a little bit and a lot. But whatever you do, if you don't love Christ, don't delay and don't postpone your repentance. Don't procrastinate, because he is coming. There's more to this text. There's not only this word of solemnity, there's this word of entreaty, there's this prayer. That's our second point, this word of entreaty. Maranatha. It's another Aramaic word which could be translated as a truth, or can be translated as a prayer. As a truth, the Lord is coming. As a prayer, Lord, come. Both are possible. It seems from the context that it's a prayer. Lord, come. But here is a truth. Christ is coming. I know that many do not reckon with his second coming. I know that people laugh and scoff at the idea of Christ. Second coming, they think they're fine. They don't seem worried. They think that life will just go on and will just go on and it will just continue. But it will not just continue. Our lives will come to an end. This world will come to an end. Christ is coming again to judge the living and the dead. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You must. And I must. He's coming. And he will separate the sheep from the goats. He will take all those who love him. By grace, he'll take them to himself. And those who don't love him will be cast into outer darkness. But he's coming, and he's coming sooner than many think. And the people of God, if it's right, are longing for this. I know we have our task in this world here below. If he tarries, we have to go to our work tomorrow, and we have to engage in our activities at home. I know we may not feel ready, and there are those whom we love that are not saved yet. We're burdened about our unconverted family members and friends and church members and neighbors. But there is this longing in the heart of every child of God. It's the longing of the bride for her bridegroom. She wants him to come to him. She longs for her wedding day. She longs to be with their Savior. That's what love does. Love longs to be together with him. Love prays for his return. Love asks that he would drive away the darkness and the night of unbelief and sin and drive away the wickedest chaff. That's how we hear Paul pray this. And he not only prays it, he records his one-word prayer. He writes it down with his pen. And he shows what a living faith longs for and a living love desires in the heart of the believer. And maybe it needs to rebuke us this afternoon. Those of you who do know the grace of God, maybe it needs to rebuke us because we've lost our first love, maybe. And we need to repent and we need to do the first things, but he is coming. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And it should make us long for fresh repentance in our lives and seek for that fresh repentance in our hearts and in the hearts and lives of others for the grace and power of His Holy Spirit so that we would acknowledge Him and reverence Him and love Him. Are you ready for His coming? Are you prepared for His return? What if He comes tonight? Boys and girls, do you love Him? Are you praying for His coming? Shall we not remember this? But the poet wrote, nothing abideth life and its beauty, 'twill wither away. But what is done out of love for the Savior, that lasts forever, its memory will stay. What is done out of love for the Savior, that will last and that will stay. Don't you see your need for mercy? That's what Paul speaks of too. Not only speaking a word of solemnity and a word of entreaty, but thirdly a word of mercy. A word of mercy, verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He gives them a greeting at the end. He gives them the blessing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And he uses a common word for grace, which can also have the meaning of joy. Grace gives joy. God's grace gives happiness. After all, his grace is his undeserved favor whereby he receives you. Forgives you, he leads you, and he gives you joy. And friends, as we leave you, and as we face an unknown future, we cannot wish for anything better than this for you, that the Lord would be gracious to you. To the older ones, to the middle-aged ones, and to the young people, to the rising generation, that you would learn to need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that more and more, and that you would look to Christ alone and His cross alone, and on that basis He receives you into His favor as the father of the prodigal son embraced Him. Every day we sin. Some of you beat yourselves up. Every day at the end of the day we fall short. But did you know that there are gracious arms that are ready to receive you time and again? There's the gracious embrace of the triune God. In His grace, He receives you. In His grace, He forgives you. As far as the east is from the west, and He sees no iniquity in Jacob. And in His grace, He leads you in the paths of righteousness. He leads you in the way that we should go. And that means that we should seek His guidance. Also, those who are finishing school, grade 12 maybe, or college. We need grace in all the aspects of life. We need grace in our shame. We need grace in our pain. We need grace that gives joy. But then it's only through Christ. Yes, you'll notice again the words of Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is in every verse at this farewell greeting, at these parting words. Christ who took the judgment that sinners deserved. Christ who bore the wrath that sinners deserved. Christ for whom there was no grace on the cross, for whom there was no mercy on Golgotha, so that grace and mercy may be given to people like you and me. Do you need this grace? Do you take these words with you? These words of solemnity and these words of entreaty and these words of mercy and lastly, this word of charity. Verse 24, My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. With these words, these touching words, Paul writes the last letters of this letter. And while he used a general word for love in verse 22, here he uses the highest word for love, agape. It's a special last word. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Yes, he writes of love again, as he had done in 1 Corinthians 13, saying that love is patient and love is kind and love doesn't envy and it isn't easily provoked. It's love that beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Paul has had a lot of grief over the congregation. He's had to deal with serious things. One of them was division and disunity. It's very sad when a congregation is broken up into groups and people say, well, I belong to this group and I won't talk to that group. And others say, well, I belong to that group and I won't talk to this group. That doesn't honor the Lord. Paul knew that. And Corinth knew that too. But Paul comes to the end of the letter and Paul wants the congregation to know that he has admonished them, not because he enjoys being so critical and because he enjoys being so judgmental, but he has admonished them and corrected them in love. He has done this out of love for the Lord and for His church. That's how I have sought to labor among you, with love and compassion in my pastoral work and in my preaching and in prayer. Yes, I feel my shortcomings in all these things. But let me say, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. We've been bound together by God. Now we are loosened from you, dear congregation. But the love remains for Christ and for the congregation. And the congregation ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we? Or no? What good reason do you have for not loving Christ? Give me one good reason why you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. The worst crime in the world is not adultery or murder. The worst crime in the world is not loving the Lord Jesus Christ. But how can that be changed, you say? Hear, and your soul shall live. Faith cometh by hearing. He wants us to listen to His word so that He comes and reveals Christ to you by that word and Spirit. That's the love He wants to give to you and me, whoever you are, whatever your past, whatever your history. And that's how we want to take leave of each other and commit each other into His hands. One more time. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you long to belong to Him and to serve Him and come before Him loving Him because He first loved you? Has He not spared you long enough? Has He not come with overtures of grace often enough? Is it not a wonder that you're not in hell? Seek Him for His grace. Long to belong to Him and serve Him and come before Him loving Him because He first loved you, and to be part of that great multitude. That's what I'm looking forward to. One day to be among that great multitude. Will you be there, loving Him, belonging to that people who are foul and guilty of themselves, who've made a mess of their lives from beginning to end, but a multitude that is washed in Christ's blood, that's praising Him and saying, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Come before the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving. Most good-doing and gracious Lord, please apply these words to our hearts, that the question may ring in our ears, do I love Him? Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? And if so, it's all of grace, and if not, it's our own fault, and it means that at this very moment we are under Thy condemnation and wrath. Lord, apply these words to our hearts, even though they were brought by a feeble and sinful messenger. But it is Thy word. Help us in the midst of life, in the midst of all the disputes and arguments that go on in the world, we would be convinced of this great thing, this great need, to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Work that in all of our hearts, also in the boys and the girls. Thank Thee for all that Thou hast given us. Under Thy word, forgive all that was amiss too in preaching and pastoring and praying and in our prayerlessness. Have mercy, Lord. And glorify Thy own name in the midst of the congregation here, and also as we transition to Oxford. Lord, make us long for Thy return too, to be done with sin, to love the Savior perfectly, and to praise Thee without interruption. Work this in all of our hearts to thy glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.